I know we're going longer than we normally do, but I hope you're okay with that. And come on, it's Pentecost Sunday, but I'll be a little shorter than normal now. But I do still want to give you a word in the midst of this as well to equip you in this season. I think it's so important that, and that's my calling to equip the church as a pastor. So I want to give you a word as well to help equip you in this season. I want to read a bit of a longer passage to start from Mark chapter number 11. It's Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 25. But we kind of need all the verses to get the truth that I want to share with you today. And after I read that, I'm going to lay kind of a long foundation that's a little bit deep. So don't take a nap on me or fall asleep. Smack your neighbor or something there in the living room with you if you have to. But I kind of got to lay a long foundation to then give you two really quick points right at the end. But the foundation's going to be needed to understand what comes at the end. So let me read this with you first. Mark chapter number 11, 12 through 25. It says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany," and that's Jesus with his disciples, "the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry." You've been hungry, come on. "Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit." We've spoken about that at church before, and I can't get into kind of the leaves and the fruit in this message because I'm talking about something different, but there's some great truths in there. "When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching." Jesus was messing up the status quo and they weren't happy. "When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered." I want you to catch this. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. For when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Father, I pray, I know that's a lengthy passage. We want to glean something from it here today in our final moments. I pray that you would help us to grasp it and to understand your word and apply it in our lives. Church from home, even if you would pray along with me. Father, help me to live my life according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I talk to things. I know Jesus talked to something in the passage, but I talk to things sometimes also. You say, Pastor, what do you mean you talk to things? I talk to my dog. I talk to my car. I drove a car for a while, and some of you been there, I won't be alone. Some of you been there where you had a car where when you got in it and you put the key in, you didn't know if it was going to start. Because sometimes it started and sometimes it didn't. Come on, there's somebody watching that you drove one of those cars also. And I would get in my car and I had one of those cars. I remember when I was in college, I had this old Sunbird. I didn't know what was going to happen when I put the key in. I put the key in and sometimes I would pray, but sometimes I would like reach out and I would rub the dashboard like the car was my dog or something. I'd be like, come on, you can do it. And I would turn the key. And when it started, I would be like, good job. Now get me to work and then bring me back home. I talk to things sometimes. I'll talk to my tool or talk to something when I'm working on it. I talk to the computer or the copier when I want it to print something and it won't come out. I stand there and look at the copier as if it can understand me. And I'm like, come on, just print. Just print. Just work. What does spooling even mean? I don't understand what you're doing. Just print the document. And you talk to things also, just like I do. I mean, in my house, when my dog sneezes, we talk to him. My dog sneezes, I say, God bless you. When I bump my dog, I say, excuse me. He never says anything back. That'd be rather frightening, but I talk to him. But Jesus is not talking about random inanimate objects when he talks here. Jesus is not talking about randomly talking to things like I'm referring to there, where we get frustrated with things. Jesus is talking about spiritual authority in our lives. And that's what Jesus does on this occasion, is he exercises his spiritual authority. He knows who he is. The power of the Spirit is at work in his life. And he exercises his spiritual authority on this occasion. And although the tree is in the natural, the supernatural is always more powerful than the natural. So when Jesus speaks in the natural to the tree, the supernatural operates. And as we saw, the tree withered, and even that the tree died. Now, there was a purpose to what Jesus was doing. Jesus was always teaching. And Jesus was teaching on this occasion as well, as what he was doing. And we're going to focus on something. There's a lot of truths in there, but something in particular today. Initially, what Jesus was illustrating, he was illustrating something very important. And it had nothing to do with breakfast or trees or fruit or anything like that. It was about covenant. It was about relationship. It was about God wanting relationship with his people. Now, again, this will get a little deep, but hang with me here. The day before this happened with the tree, Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem. And when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, and we know the account, most of us, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, and we had the whole triumphal entry. And when he came in, they went to the temple, but it was late in the day. And when he got to the temple, he found all these people selling and buying goods, and they were in the court of the Gentiles and the money changers who were there and all that was going on. And Jesus clearly did not like what he saw. He was upset by what he saw. But he didn't do anything. It was late in the day. And the Bible tells us that he left and he went back to Bethany with his disciples and he stayed for the night. He would often go to Bethany. It was just outside the city. He had friends who lived there, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. He would often stay there and eat with them or stay in their home. And he went to Bethany to stay. But the next morning, he came back into the city. And when he came back into the city, Jesus was now prepared to respond to what he had seen the day before. And you saw it in the text with me. This is usually not the Jesus that we picture. This is not Jesus sitting on a grassy hillside with beautiful blue skies behind him with children on his lap. This is Jesus with a whip in his hand, flipping tables and chasing people. And the Bible says that no one could buy nor sell anything there that day because of Jesus's response. He was upset. He was upset because in a place where there was supposed to be worship, where Gentiles were supposed to be able to worship, they turned it into a flea market. They had made this some kind of exclusive religion just for Jewish people, and that had never really been God's intention. There was supposed to be a Gentile court as well, and a court for women. I know that men and women lived so separately at that time where they would, and these things had been lost. They had created this exclusive group that was there, and Jesus responded in this way. And then when it was all done and that day was done, they slept. And as you keep reading through the whole account, they come to them the next morning and they leave town the same way and they pass by the same tree. And Peter sees it and he says, hey, Jesus, there's the tree. There's that tree you talked to. Jesus, look, it's dead now. It's all withered. There's nothing left to it, to the tree that is there. Now hang with me, because Jesus is giving a deep illustration here. Jesus is giving a deep illustration of what happens here. He's gone through all this. The tree is dead. Peter points it out to him. Rabbi, look, the fig tree you curse is withered. And Jesus replies to that by saying this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The fig tree in the context, Jesus always taught with parables. He was always teaching in parables with illustrations. People comment sometimes on my illustrations of how I point things out. And I always tell people, I try to learn from Jesus because Jesus is just like the master illustrator of everything. So that the way he did things was just incredible. The tree in the context is symbolic of the temple itself. The temple itself. And that's why the account in the temple is sandwiched between the tree account on each side. This tree, which should be bearing fruit, was bearing no fruit, and now it would be cut off because it wasn't serving its purpose. And what Jesus was illustrating was that the old system, the old sacrificial system of the Old Testament, it was now done. It wasn't producing fruit anyway, and Jesus was the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the whole earth, and now that the final sacrifice of the sacrificial system had come, there would not be a need for that system anymore. The tree illustrates what Christ had come to do. It was, you're not bearing fruit anymore, and you're going to be cut off now. God's going to bring forth something new. And it was what Christ came to do there. But in that context, God wasn't cutting his people off, by the way. He was cutting off a system. He was building a bridge to his people. Jesus had come for all nations and all people. We knew that. But there was a new agreement being brought about through the cross of Calvary. And God's the same today as he was then. This was all about relationship. This was about God wanting to be in a relationship with us and connected with us in our lives. Here's what I want you to catch today. God wants to be in a relationship with you, and God wants to be in a relationship with me so much that he doesn't want anything to get in the way of that relationship. God wants nothing to get in the way of our relationship with him. Anything that would get in the way between me and God, it needs to go. It needs to go. And that's why in this context, when Peter says, Rabbi, look, the tree that you curse, it's now dead. Jesus doesn't talk about the tree. He turns to Peter and says, have faith in God. And then he goes into something else where he then tells him, and we read it. It was in verses 23 through 25, but I'm going to read him again. It said this. Jesus says this, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, grow, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Understand that powerful truth in the context of a God who is speaking of relationship. Of the temple wasn't providing the relationship with God that he wanted. Jesus had come to right things and tore the veil in two to give us access to God and bring relationship. That mountain is anything that stands between you and God. He's saying, come on, you need to speak to that thing and cast it out of there, because God doesn't want anything between you and him. God wants to be connected with you with nothing in the way. Nothing in the way. Now recall with me what the disciples had seen in their lifetimes. The disciples have seen Jesus talk to the wind. The disciples have seen Jesus talk to waves. The disciples have seen Jesus walk on water. There's that account on the boat where they whisper to each other, the disciples, and they say, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Come on, if you're hanging out with somebody and they talk to the wind and the water and it does what they say, this isn't some old airbender movie. This, whoever does this is going to really get your attention. He speaks to it specifically, and they know this is powerful. But although they have seen that, Jesus doesn't use anything like that in this teaching time with the disciples. Jesus doesn't curse the tree and then turn to Peter when Peter says, hey, look, there's the tree you cursed. Jesus doesn't turn to Peter, because he could have done this, and say, Peter, if you curse a tree, it'll die also. He could have said that, but he didn't. He could have turned to Peter and said, Peter, if you talk to the wind and the waves, they'll obey you also. But he didn't. He didn't. In the context, he used mountain. And I don't believe any of Jesus' words were random or hodgepodge. Jesus was always teaching. He's always teaching. So he picks mountain on purpose for the illustration. Because in the Bible, mountains are consistently used for what stands in the way. And in particular, what stands in the way of what God has promised or what God has for you, or relationship with God. We get it in Zechariah, where the prophet Zechariah says, you will speak to the mountain, and when you speak to the mountain, it will become a plain before you. And that was prophetic of Christ's coming. Zechariah was speaking prophetically of when Jesus would come. Come on, I know I'm being a little deeper today, but hang with me. Of that mountain, whatever stands between you and God, it's just going to become a plain, because Jesus is going to make that path to relationship with God a smooth one before you, is what he's going to do. We have examples like Caleb speaking to Joshua when they entered the promised land, where he goes to Joshua and he runs through the 85-year-old Caleb, where he tells him, man, I'm as ready to fight now as I ever was. And then he says to Joshua, give me this mountain. Give me what God has promised me. The mountain is symbolic, if you will, even though there was an actual on that occasion. Mountains represented things in God's word. And on this occasion, Jesus is declaring that whatever it is that is in the way, whatever it is that's keeping you from being who God intended you to be, whatever is holding you back, whatever is weighing you down, whatever is keeping you from being fruitful, speak to that mountain. He's talking about a prophetic word spoken out of the mouth of the child of God to what would hinder them. That we would be able to stand and declare, I am a child of God. I have authority. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed. My past is erased. I am a new creation in Christ. I'm the head and not the tail. I am anointed and appointed by God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I know who I am. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I cast out devils. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I have faith in God. That's the child of God. That's the call that is there. I know where I'm going. I am a child of promise. Come on, you're an adopted son. You're a daughter of promise. We're adopted into the family. God is our Father. We are co-heirs with Christ. The Holy Spirit fills us with power. In our position of who we are in Christ, whatever it would be in my life that would hinder my relationship then with God, my position is that I am to then speak to that with authority. And it could be a sinful thing. It could be an evil thing. It could be a relationship. But it might just be a time waster. It might just be something that's just steering me off course of where I need to be in my life, that I would speak to that thing and say, mountain, get out of my way. You are hindering me from being who I was created by God to be. I posted something online this past week. Some of you will have seen. I want to remind you of it. It'll be new to some of you. And to remember, your level of success in life will never be measured by who you are compared to others. Your level of success in life is always going to be measured by who you are compared to who God created you to be. That's who you want to be. God didn't create me to be you. God didn't create you to be me. I'm not judged by what God made you to do. You aren't by what God made me to be. That was like a tongue twister, but you get what I'm saying. Come on, we want to walk in who we are in Christ, in Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 36, land had been taken from the children of God. And God tells Ezekiel, and you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Talk to those mountains in the name of Jesus. I'm almost finished, I promise. Hang with me. I want to give you two things. They're going to be like 1 minute each, maybe a minute and a half or four. All right, so you're with me. You're with me. The first one is this. It's two quick things. He says this. In the context of understanding that we talk to the things that would be in the way and we cast them out, the first one Jesus said was, have faith in God. We have to believe in what God can do, and we also have to believe in who we are and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Because otherwise, you'll never cast stuff out of your life. You'll never speak with authority on who you are in Christ if you don't understand who you are in Christ Jesus as well. So I'm not talking about having faith in yourself. I'm talking about having faith in who you are in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can't do all things, but Jesus can, and he's working through me. So we have faith in God. Our faith is in God in this. Maybe there's been a stronghold in your life. Maybe there's been something in your life that has continuously hindered your relationship with God and held you back or pulled you back or hindered you from becoming who you were created to be and doing what you know God wanted you to do in your life. Knowing who you are in Christ, it's time to say to the thing, you know what? It's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. I'm going to walk in who God made me to be. My faith is in God. My faith is in God. And the second thing Jesus talks about, and it's a big one, it almost seems unrelated, but it's always connected, and that's forgiveness. Jesus says, if you're going to walk in this place of relationship with the Father, this is about relationship. The Old Testament wasn't bearing fruit. Jesus has come as the Lamb of God to build a bridge that we could be in a relationship that bears fruit. Our lives will be fruitful. He says, if you're going to walk in this, you're going to have faith in God. But you're also going to have forgiveness. This is a big one. You're going to have forgiveness. Unforgiveness can keep me from reaching my destiny of who I was made to be in Christ Jesus. Because if I live my life bitter and hurt over what somebody else has done to me along the way, I'll miss out on becoming who I could be because it will weigh me down. The mountain might be bitterness. The mountain might be unforgiveness that you have to say, you know what? Unforgiveness, you've hung around long enough in my life. Unforgiveness, you have to go. You speak to it prophetically as a child of God and you remove it because you say, no, I'm going to walk in the grace of God. Forgiveness is always a wonderful thing when you're on the receiving end. We all love forgiveness when we're receiving it. Sometimes it's a little tougher to give it along the way. Come on, I know someone hurt you. We've all been hurt. I know you've been done wrong along the way, but I want to encourage you. I know you've been disappointed. Faith and forgiveness. Last thing, I promise. Jesus illustrated it, hanging on the cross. Hanging on the cross, Jesus knows he's going to rise from the grave. He knows that. He has faith in God. He goes to the cross. He's prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he lays down his life. He goes to the cross. He has faith in his Father. And what does he say hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they... Come on, Jesus was the example of this. He was perfect in his... He didn't just tell disciples to do it. He lived it out in his own life. It was, I'm not going to allow... Jesus himself, Jesus could have become bitter in that context. Look at what they're doing to me. No, he was like, I'm not missing on what my purpose is and what I came to do. He walked in faith. He walked in forgiveness. And I want to challenge you to do it as well in your life with him being that great example. This whole message is about a call to fruitfulness. Grizel, why don't you come back up with me if you would? We're going to pray and we're going to pull all this together. It's a call to understanding what we're called to do. God wants you. God wants me. God wants Grizel. God wants Hector and Melissa, the handful of people in the room with me, Tyler and Abigail and Deborah, you saw them. And God wants every one of you, every one of you. God wants all of us to live lives that impact eternity, that our lives have a lasting impact. The Bible says that he chose us to bear fruit. It's John 14, I believe. I should have looked it up. You can text it to me. You've been chosen to bear fruit, appointed to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. This was all about fruitfulness and a relationship with God. God wants us to live lives that are effective for him, equipped by him, walking in him, hallelujah, because God knows he has so much in store for us. So I want to challenge us today as I close and I pray. Anything in your life, anything in my life that's in the way of relationship with God. Today's the day to say, mountain, you're out of here. You're out of here. You got to go. You got to go. This bitterness, this hurt, this anger, this sin, this time waster, this lack of faith that I've had, maybe it was worry or anxiety, something that has held you back from really walking in a relationship. You speak to it. You speak to it in who you are in Christ. Say, you have to go. I'm going to walk in who God made me to be. I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I'm not going to settle for sin or less or live a wasted life. I'm going to walk in that. and my potential in Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over everybody in the sound of my voice right now. I pray over everybody who's going to listen to this later today or maybe even during the week or whenever. I pray that my prayer would linger. I pray that my prayer would linger over the internet in the name of Jesus for whenever somebody hears it. I pray that You would help us to walk in who we are in You. May we be a people of faith. May we be a people of forgiveness, Lord God, who walk in this relationship with You. We're a people of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power is within us. May we settle for nothing less than living the Spirit-filled life led by You that would impact others around us, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad you hung out with me a little longer than normal. I know we went a little longer, but I really wanted us to take that extra time to pray today in our service. Come on, that's our weapons. Our weapons, and our weapons are powerful. So make sure you keep praying. Let's continue to act justly. Let's continue to love mercy and walk humbly with our God. God bless you. Have a tremendous week in Christ Jesus.